It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along and great to see my friend and co-host for couple decades now, Mike Ward.
Glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're able to see me.
Yes, it's been, because Mike and I were talking about, you know, what are we going to do in the show this week, and I was thinking about some different things, and he said, we probably should tell turkey stories, and I guess I had blanked out after I got back from Florida and so much stuff going on that I didn't, but yeah, we got tons of turkey stories to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
We also have some news in the outdoors, talking about the change to the law now. For jubilees, that you don't have to have a license, but you still have to abide by creel and size limit. That thing came out of the legislature.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's okay. That's a debate we'd had on the show, and I mean, I'd had on Midday Mobile with Representative Matt Simpson, who was for not having a license. I was for having a license.
I remember
but,
that.
But that was, you know, so I tell folks, too, they're like, Matt and I talked about it when it was released, like when it came out this week. He called and said, you know, good for you. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. He and I debated, people debated.
Yeah.
More people agreed with him and the legislature. Then that's the way things go.
That's the law.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's just, it's still worth having a debate, and I don't think he's a bad dude. Or people. Yeah. I just, you know, I disagreed with him on that, but
I do too. I think you need to have a license. If you're going to catch fish, gig fish, catch fish, whatever, you need a license, just like I do, you do, whatever.
Well, we're in agreement, but the law is not.
Yeah.
So there we go. And we'll get to some other things in Montgomery coming out of the legislature that deal with outdoors. But first, let's talk about the good stuff. And yeah, you and I have not grouped back up. So I was gone last week.
Yep.
To do something I've wanted to do for 20 years, and that's go kill an Osceola. So it was...
And was you successful?
Should I save that for the end of the story?
I guess so.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
See, that's wanted to do this for a long time. And, you know, you and I have talked about this off air so many times. When it comes to, and I really haven't gone on a guided hunt much in my life. My dad and I went up to Arkansas one time on a guided hunt when I was a kid.
Turkey hunt?
No, duck hunt.
Duck hunt, okay.
We did that, and we went to Louisiana one time for a goose hunt, okay? That's the only times I've been, and I was 17, 18 years old when that happened. Other than that, I've not gone on guided hunts. I've hunted a lot of places, but I'm public out west. I'm public man, do it yourself, you know, all these things. I'm excited, and, you know, we talked about Kansas this year. I was drawn but lost a place I was going to hunt and was looking at guides, and I kind of got overwhelmed with not knowing this guide versus this guide versus this guide. And same thing, it hit me with these Osceola hunts over the years. I had kids and time and money and all that stuff had kept me from doing it for a long time. And then once I decided I was going to do it, knowing, okay, is this guy reputable?
Who do you go with?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. You can have a great hunt or an experience, or you can have a terrible hunt and a terrible experience.
So that held us up for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of ours, he and his father go with this outfitter in Florida and said, they do what they say they're going to do. They're honest, decent, safe people. So when we got that green light last year, we went ahead and booked. And so that's the hunt we went on down near Winter Haven, Florida, down north of Orlando, that area. South of Ocala, down in there.
Yeah, I know about where you're talking about.
Right. Not too far from the Mouse World.
Yeah.
And had a great time. So we went down, drove down, and got there on a Wednesday night. And then start our hunt on Thursday. And so we had split up. I was with one guide, and then the two other guys, my two buddies, were with another guide. And where I went, and actually they went the same place that morning, just a different part of this property, was a blueberry farm.
Yeah.
Now I've hunted turkeys in some interesting places. We're hunting blueberry. I'm talking about rows. I'm not even talking about like blueberry bushes.
Yeah.
Just like, I'm talking about rows with pivot irrigation, not even pivot irrigation, PVC pipe sprinkler irrigation, and rows, I mean, farm in operation.
Sure.
This is a commercial blueberry production facility, although they sell to the public. I bought a bunch and ate them on the way home. They're fantastic. So we're hunting on a blueberry farm. We get out, and they say, okay, we got to walk about a mile and a half here to get to where these birds roost. So you, we're walking down the farm roads, the blueberry. I mean,
yeah,
there's irrigation stuff everywhere and all this. And we get over in the kind of surrounding where the blueberry farm, where the blueberry bushes were, plants were. There's some open ground, like pasture looking ground. And then the woodline starts. So we truck it over there, get near this woodline and set up, and they set up a blind and all that, and got there. And then birds gobbled. But I'm still the whole time, I'm looking at, like, probably 80 yards away from us, 70 yards away from us is where it picks up. I mean, there's PVC pipe, irrigation, sprinklers and all. It's just crazy.
But yeah.
Turkeys were there. To say I'm any kind of expert in the Osceolas would be a fail, meaning that, because everybody said, well, okay, they gobble less. They said, did they gobble? I said, they did gobble. I mean, they said, well, they didn't gobble as much as Easterns. I said, well, what day? Someday Easterns
don't
gobble.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, you're 100% right.
Because the things sometimes we were always told
one time, sometimes I gobble 100 times.
Right, but things where I was always, and I've read, like I said, 20 years wanting to kill this subspecies, Osceola. I was always told that they don't gobble as much. They have longer legs, longer spurs, and they don't weigh as much.
Yeah.
So yes, no. Those things are true and untrue. I mean, just from my little slice of doing it. So the birds gobbled okay, you know, and had different birds gobbling, and ended up, I don't know, it got daylight 7 something. It's Eastern time.
Okay? Right.
And so we're hunting and had birds gobbling. There's a big lake behind there, and there's a woods that surround the lake, and then you have pasture, and then you have the blueberry farm. So turkeys gobbled back there, and end up at really just at fly down light. We had a hen pitch right in front of us. So she stayed there for a second, wandered off. Had hens coming through at different times. We'd hear these birds gobble, you know, different places. And back to, it would have been our north, but our left there, there were two birds that gobble on occasion. And heard one gobble down to the right. Okay, so we're sitting there, and actually had some hens in front of us, and the guide said, there's a tom. That's what they said, tom. There's a tom coming. And I look out, like just careen my eyes to the right. You know, it wasn't about to fly, but you know the fastest walk run a turkey can do without it flying?
Yeah.
I look over, and I see old Longbeard coming. He's a high-stepping turkey, and he's just, dude's on a motorcycle coming down and I'm like, and at that point, we had two hens in front of us. I said, well, he's on jog. He's coming to these hens. He's going, he no more cared about those. He went by those hens at about 70 yards, stopped for a second, looked at them for a tenth of a second, and went to the blueberries. He disappears down the rows of the blueberries.
How about that?
PVC pipe, irrigation, blueberries.
Yeah.
He disappears in there.
Well, he's going to feed.
Yes, and he didn't gobble at that point when he's out in the open. He gets in the blueberries. Pow! There's a turkey gobbling in the blueberries. And he cruises on. I guess he met up with the other gobbler that was gobblers that were down to our left. And because I know he did get some blueberries, and I can put the pictures up on our Facebook page, because cleaning them, they're blueberries in his crop. Whole blueberries, too. It was like the whole thing.
Told the story now.
Yeah. So, I did slip up there.
You slipped up.
So he goes down there, meets up with the others, and we end up. So. He and another gobbler, I don't know what happened to the third, he and another gobbler with some hens coming towards us. God said, can you see them? You know when the sun is in your eyes at a point you feel like you're losing your vision? It's that bad?
Yeah.
I said, no, I can't see them. I can't see them. Well, they're coming. Well, it's taken forever because the hens are just kind of feeding and chasing bugs through that open pasture, and the gobblers are strutting behind them. And I can't see them. And occasionally I can see the top of a fan or whatever. They're like 80, 100 yards. When the guide goes, by the way, and at this point it was like 7 minutes after 8, says, by the way, at 8:30 and no later, we have to be out of here. And I said, what? He said, well, that's when the pickers come in to pick the blueberries.
So he's so giving you about an hour and a half.
The rule of hunting this farm is in that area. There's other areas, but the area we're hunting, you can hunt until the crews get here, and
because they don't want people shooting
where there's people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Said the guy says, there's a bus is going to come in here.
Kill a turkey and a person.
Right. They said,
and a picker.
And they said, this is how it's going to work. There's a bus going to come, and we're looking the split between two rows. There's like a farm road. They said, there's a bus getting ready to come down this road and open up a door, and pickers are going to be getting out of it and going to work. I'm like, well, that's a little pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and birds are just taking their time. It was at, I think, 8:17. I finally see the birds came to where I could see them.
It was the one that was out in the field?
We think it's a different one. We do think it, because we don't know. It went down there. It could have been, because there were two gobblers down there, but two came up. We think maybe one went the other way, and this gobbler that went by us on that motorcycle got with that other gobbler and saw hens and started, although he's not interested in the hens that were right in front of us when he went by. I'm talking about, y'all picture this. You see a turkey with a fast walk. We've all seen it. He covered, I watched him. This is open, flat Florida ag ground. He covered 600 yards just walking real fast.
Listen, they can go when they want to go.
I mean, boogie.
Yeah.
But usually when we see that walk, they're about to pitch up and fly. Yeah. He wasn't. He's just, that's what I could hear in my head. It's like the Lone Ranger music. And so, but two came in. And finally, I mean, I finally, you know, with stars in my eyes from looking in the sun, the guide said, they're in range. I think it went this, they're in range if you can take this shot. Boom.
Didn't have to tear Sean twice.
No, they got in the story that, at the end of the trip. They said, y'all are something to hunt with. I said, we're from Alabama. They said, y'all are killers. And birds in range. And, it was at 41, and they use range finders. You know, we all steps, but they use 41 yards.
Well, with what we shoot nowadays.
20-gauge TSS.
Right. Well, what we use now, I mean, 50 yards, 60 yards is really not an issue with what we shoot anymore.
But for the 20, I mean, that's my comfortable range right there. I thought it was 40, and I shot it and rolled it there. And that was the first turkey of the trip. And they came and picked us up on the farm vehicle to get us out of there before the pickers got to work.
I want to hear the rest of the story.
We're coming right back. After that, Mike, that's when we were asked to leave the state of Florida.
Nope. They didn't know what they were dealing with, these Alabama boys, man. I'm telling you. They used to these probably Michigan guys coming down or, New Yorkers or whatever.
And they get some Alabama guys. But, yeah, they got a lot of people. It was interesting mix talking to – and by the way, welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. A lot of people that come there for their slam, to shoot their Osceola. You know, you got that limited area to get it, and there are people that do that. There's people that do it every year. They also have clients that are just Florida hunters, and that's where they go hunt. They're not hunting them because they're Osceolas. They're going turkey hunting.
Right.
You know, but we were part of the people being there for the slam, but I really did really love the experience down there. It's so different, the place. I mean, like I told you, I killed mine on a blueberry farm.
Yeah. I mean, I had some friends that went down and killed their turkeys in a orange.
I've heard about the orange grove hunts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard those. And I think some of the stuff he leases does have orange groves. But it's just, an orange grove, it's sitting there growing oranges all the time. The blueberry farms, when they're in season, they're picking every day. It's just a different setting.
So how many blueberries did your turkey have in
three.
His crawl?
Three.
Only three?
Only three, because he hadn't had much time. Because, like I said, if it was that one, he was walking 35 miles an hour, he got those. But, they eat, and I watch hens chasing bugs and doing normal stuff, too. So they have a mixed. But it's got to be, we talk about nutrition for critters. I know blueberries probably don't happen. They got a lot of sugar in them. But that's got to be a boost to their system.
Yeah.
To get that kind of during that 3 months. I think he said they picked about 3 months a year.
That's a long time.
Yeah, because they stage them. I mean, these guys are trying to make a living. I got blueberry bushes in my yard, too.
They come and they go.
Yeah. And the cedar waxwings eat most of them, but it's got to be a boost the way corn and soybeans are in the Midwest for deer. Adds this extra. So it killed my bird.
So there's three of y'all.
There's three of us. So I killed my bird first, like I said, and did have the added pressure of we have to be out of here by 8:30 when the pickers get out. So we did that. Killed my bird. Got out. It was good. So bird was, they said he's a 3-year-old. I don't know, 2-year-old, 3-year-old.
Yeah.
All these stories about the Osceolas, they've got such long spurs. He 3/4-inch spurs. Nothing, nothing crazy.
That's definitely a 2-year-old.
That's what I said to her. They said, that's a 3-year-old down here. Yeah. Whatever. I said, you don't have to pat me on the back. I'm here to kill an Osceola. I'm good.
Yeah.
Black wings, Mike.
Black.
Awesome. I mean, just barely you could tell where the striping, you get that distinct striping with a Eastern. yeah. on the wing feathers. Those wing feathers, you can look, you can see there's a little, but they're not brown. They're on mine, they're darn near black. Very cool looking.
How about that? I've never killed one.
Cool, a cool looking bird. So yeah. Take it back.
All three, all the turkeys?
No, I'm going to talk about that. Okay. So I think it's interesting. Then our other buddy, the tallest of all of us.
Yeah.
He killed his that afternoon. About 1 o'clock or so, and they do hunt, and I get it because they can't go running over all pieces of property busting birds because they got clients come in. They run two groups a week of people through there, so they
So there's other people hunting too.
Not while we're there, but they like there's like a Wednesday through Saturday group and a Monday through Wednesday group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you don't want to booger any birds that your next group might be hunting. So they set up and they were set up back in the woods and had a long hunt waiting for them back there, but got a great show. Bird strut for them, beautiful show.
Yeah.
And it was those pictures. My pictures are cool, but this is a blueberry farm. This buddy's pictures are oaks with Spanish moss on them and palmettos.
That's
and
real
all the Florida, straight up Florida action. Got that hunt. And so that the two of us were done day one with our hunt. I did tell you during the break, you asked if we took our rods. Yes, we did. This guy, this outfitter, he lives on there's so many of these communities in Central Florida.
Did
there's
he
a
know
big
he
lake.
Was dealing with Alabama boys?
He did after about a day.
Okay.
He did figure it out.
I figured it wouldn't take him long.
Yeah, he said, we'd asked him, he said, there's fishing if y'all want it or whatever. So, of course, we show up too. We're unloading tackle boxes and rods and stuff. And it's one of these, wasn't like we're out in a big ranch and a lodge. He had leases everywhere, but we're at his house. He has the places for the guests to stay.
Yeah.
They're adjacent to his house. And it's a couple acre lots around these lakes in Central Florida. There's all these lakes. And you got like this community lake. All the houses have access to the lake, a shoreline. Yeah. And so he was leaving with the third of our group to go back out that afternoon. He said, well, y'all can fish if you want. They're Florida bass, though. And we do know, Tom, that Florida bass are tough to catch sometimes.
They're not F1s where they bite like crazy.
Right. They're not F1s. They're Florida bass. So I think so we probably figured them out. The 41st bass we caught when he called us and said, y'all found any? Like, yeah, 41 in.
Yeah, right now we ain't 41. We still got a long time to go. When y'all coming back?
we did find out, too, that that they didn't tell us beforehand, but there's one of the docks on the lake. You've seen these videos on YouTube where the people come and yell at people for fishing.
They call in the police.
The Karens of the world, right?
This is my water. It's not your water. You can't fish here. Right. I've seen
So, we didn't find it out till later because he was saying, well, everybody's cool except for that house that has a Zodiac tied up in front of it. We said, we caught 7 off that dog.
Yeah.
She must have not
and
seen
one
this
fat again. One there.
Yeah, because it says she has the neighborhood lore, she has his pet bass, and she wants no one to catch him, so she runs down there and screams at people fishing near her dock. Obviously, she was having an afternoon nap after a couple cocktails. Didn't get us.
But she was at work, maybe.
Yeah, well, we worked over those bass. So,
yeah.
did that, had a real good time. And then the next day, it goes in the Alabama side.
Okay, so Wes killed the other one.
Yeah, Wes killed one, and I killed one on the first day.
How big was his?
His bird was the biggest of the group. His was, I think, around 19, almost 19 pounds.
Okay. That's a good one.
Okay. Showed more of, and this gets into the conversation about hybrid and not hybrid. Where we were was not in hybrid country. We're an hour and a half, 2 hours below where that line is.
Yeah.
And I've done some more digging. I had this idea that all Osceolas were completely Osceola, looking like it's out of the book. It's just like our Easterns. I've got copper wing turkeys. I got some that are not. I've got some that are lighter on the tips of their feathers. Some are darker,
That's right.
And we learned that because his bird looked still Osceola, had Osceola character, but was less black winged than my. And my bird was 14.9 pounds, which I was always told Osceolas are smaller. His bird was almost 19. Our other brother's bird
was. What about his spurs?
They were, I have to go back. An inch and change.
Over an inch.
Yeah, a little over an inch. An inch and maybe 1 inch and a fourth, something like that.
Yeah.
But better spurs than mine, for sure. And then, so that was, day two comes up, and our other buddy goes out to hunt with them. And we'd asked the question. I'd looked on Onyx maps. I said, there's this big national forest area nearby. Any turkeys there? He said, yeah, there's some turkeys there. Why are you interested? I said, not on your place. We can't kill another one, but we got a Florida license. We can kill another turkey. He said, you're about to go out in public and kill a turkey? I said, yeah. He said, okay, well, I'll tell you, that place is good, but go look at this place. He said, I used to hunt this WMA nearby. So we went out there while they were hunting on the private, and when they texted us, he said, yeah, we're watching a strutter and four hens right now. And we're, you know, scouting them out. We didn't end up hunting. We would have hunted them Saturday morning. We could hunt in the afternoon, but it was hot. And we're like, and later that day, our third buddy got his turkey, and we wanted to come back and, you know, hoop it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, we found turkeys on the public nearby. So I'm remembering that one if I want to go back for Osceolas.
Sure. Were many people there around the public stuff?
Nah, we saw three trucks total. Yeah. Going through it. And one guy was fishing. I don't know what the other guys were doing. But it was, you know, I mean, they get pressure.
Sure they do.
I mean, it's not like they don't get pressure. But yeah, we found, looking at them in one place where it's private right against public, pasture turkeys. But they got a roost somewhere. And then we found some other strut zones and all that back in the woods. So, yeah, we rode around and found strut. We're suited up to thinking we're going to go kill another one. And now we're going to hunt another one. Killing them is a different story, but hunt another one. But, yeah, our other buddy killed his.
So what happened? You didn't go? You never went back?
We didn't because our last night, that was Friday night, we had too big of a celebration.
I got you.
Because our other buddy killed his.
Couldn't see straight the next morning.
That's correct. It was, and we could have gotten up. We do that kind of stuff, but we just said, to heck with it. We need to get on the road.
Yeah.
Get back to Alabama.
Well,
but yeah,
like Alabama boy, not to go turkey hunting if an opportunity arises.
Well, I show you here. You can look at my phone and see all the marks on there I made on my Onyx. I got I've got all the strut zones.
You're
where
going
we saw
back
the
one day.
Correct. But had an absolutely great time. So if you've been debating whether to go for Osceola hunt, the one I went on, like I said, I am no master of, one experience. Had a great time.
And your buddy that told you about it, they've had a 100% success ratio. Mm-hmm. Y'all had a 100% success ratio.
Think about that pressure, Mike.
That is amazing.
And that's
to
not
me.
Texas Rios.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, Marion's and stuff in places that get no pressure. This is Disney World, y'all.
Yeah.
This is a lot of people, it's an amazing thing. And I don't know what his, they said actually at the point, that's right, because we're probably 4 weeks into their season.
Right.
I think they opened like the 15th of March in that zone in Florida. So at that point, they had two people miss, and that's it. Everybody else killed a turkey.
That is really unheard of.
You think about turkey hunters, if y'all, you know, daydream about, well, I could guide people. Think about the pressure.
Yeah.
And the number of turkeys you have to be able to kill, you know, I mean, not all groups are three people, but let's say they kill five or six a week.
Yeah. That's a bunch.
Alabama boys, could you produce five or six turkeys a week?
No way you could.
I couldn't.
The only way you could was...
You'd have to have so much ground and so much scouting.
You'd have to cheat and put bait out. That'd be the only way I know you could do it. There's no way you could do it legally in Alabama.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a blueberry farm.
Yeah, but even a blueberry farm, it don't matter. I mean, that would be tough. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, really enjoyed it. Great time, great hunt down there. We come back, let's talk about some Alabama turkeys.
Okay.
Speaking of spurs, I saw some pictures from you. A spur, you got a heck of a spur on one side, and the other side.
Spur on the other side.
And that conversation came up down in Florida, and I heard something I'd never heard before.
Okay.
So we'll bring that up when we come back. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Remember, you can also check us out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So there's a separate one. Got the main Facebook page, but there's one for the outdoor show as well. You want to drop us a line
where
there?
Picture?
Yeah, that's where we be.
Yeah.
Right there. So.
Okay. So.
Yes.
You had a great time.
Yes.
Would you and are you going back?
I probably will. You and I talked about this during the break, so. And I'm trying to do a slam, but I'm not year. I can't do it.
You can't do it 1 year. Yeah,
yeah. Mine's just because I was lucky enough to kill Rios years ago. Still like to go back and do that.
Are you mounting this turkey?
No, I'm just doing fan.
Okay,
and be honest with you. So I'm telling y'all this too, that it's a lot of money.
Sure.
And I don't know what the other.
I don't care what trip you go on, Sean. Any trip like that is going to be, it's not cheap. They're all expensive.
Right, and everyone. I started off saying I didn't have a lot of experience hunting with guides and stuff in the past, and one of the things has been not knowing who's good, but also the money.
Right.
And they know what they got. With Osceolas, there's one place to go in Osceola. It's Florida, south of like Alachua County.
That's right.
You know, so, and there's public. Like I said, we found them, but it's a limited resource. My theory, this came up maybe after a couple of Coors Lights one night. I said, what if we trapped some Osceolas and brought them up here, put them on some island where they couldn't crossbreed with Easterns, and we could sell Osceola hunts up here. So they're not cheap, but I will go back. I had such a great experience. The hunt was fun. It was different kind of
and
country.
And good people. It's great people. You know, that is a big deal. If you go off on these trips and you got a turd that you're having to deal with.
That was what I feared for years because I didn't know. Like,
but it's fun if you're going off with somebody that really enjoys life and enjoys people and like to be around people.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so that's good.
Because, and, you know, get the right guides that realize, I've learned this over the years, too, with friends of mine that are fishing guides, that you got to go catch fish, but you also need to be personable.
You got to entertain
this
too.
This is somebody's vacation. This is somebody's day off.
That's
right. And that's so it's not just the finding the critters. That's the most important. But second of all, you better like have fun. Be a fun person to be around.
That's right.
So I absolutely will go back. Probably not next year. Hopefully next year it's going to be Miriam's. And then I'll be done. I know there's Goulds and Osculated, but for right now, the four American subspecies.
Osculated would be a great turkey to go do, but that's going to be a tough hunt, too. It's not a guarantee on one of those.
No.
I mean, they're a lot tougher. They're probably, I guess, one of the toughest ones to kill out of all the
down
species.
Down the Yucatan of Mexico.
Yeah, that's right.
Down there in the jungle, baby.
That's right. Yeah, you might have to shoot more than a turkey to get out of there.
That's right. And they don't gobble. They make some other...
Whistling sound or something. Yeah, it's different.
But Goulds are doable. A buddy of mine, he's here in Alabama. He's gone to do the Goulds in Mexico right across the border.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. I don't know. But right now I'm just a Miriam's and then I've gotten that done. And I know the next level is you do it in a year. Maybe one day when I retire. Right
that's
now
hard.
I don't have time to...
That's hard.
Or money to do something like
that's
that.
Hard.
So that's about mounting it. I'm going to do either I'm going to do it or I'm going to find somebody to... I got the fan, of course, you know me, I keep, on my Easterns, I keep everything except the gobble, so fan, beard, leg spurs, and a mount like that to remember.
And you can even do the wings, too.
Yeah, I kept, you know me.
I say wings, I got a friend of mine that makes arrows, makes the...
Fletchings,
I'm sorry.
The amount of turkey feathers I have, because one day, when I have time, one day, y'all... I'm going to be, because I shoot a longbow, and to make it complete, I'd like to build some of my own arrows for it. I've been keeping, I don't keep it from every turkey, but most of the turkeys, I have a huge amount of turkey feathers. It's insane. It's a lot of turkey feathers.
I've got a lot of them, man. When
there's groups doing things like charity events or whatever, or the kids are dressing up, I get the call. I'm like, come on. I got bags for you.
Yeah.
But these I didn't. These I have the whole wings because I'm going to do something with the Osceola wings. I mean, mine are darn near black. It's really cool. I'll show you. It's really cool stuff. So while I was goofing around down there, turkey season's still going on back here in Alabama.
It was.
Okay, you killed a humdinger.
I killed a nice one. Sure did. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure it was just as hot down in Florida as it was up here.
It was hot, yeah.
It was miserable here.
I was so glad that I had to be out of the blueberry field by 8:30 because it was getting hot.
All right, well, let me tell you my story real quick. It's an interesting story. It's a different story for me.
Okay.
Okay. So
you were running and gunning.
No, I wasn't running and gunning.
It's not that different.
No, it wasn't that. Okay. But it was patience, I can tell you that.
Kills turkeys.
I go on a friend of mine's place, and I'm by myself. My friend's not with me. He's got 1,800 acres, and I was up there a week before, and he's going 40 miles an hour down the roads. Okay, there's a patch over here, and there's a power line over here, and there's turkeys usually here, and there's turkeys over there. And, you know how it is.
Yes.
We go on 1,800 acres in about 30 minutes. So
don't you remember that patch?
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I got to tell the story quick. We're going to be off the air here too much longer.
Yeah,
but anyway,
we got enough time for a bit.
Because it's not quite as long as yours, but it's a pretty good one. Anyway, so the first morning I go to where me and my buddy talked about listening. So I had to find that place to start with in the dark. So I'm standing there, daylight comes. I don't hear anything gobbling around me, but, three-quarters of a mile away, I can hear one gobbling way over there. And it sounds like two, but I'm not sure. but it's way away. But I know there's a greenfield up on this hill, and it's real open, select pine plantation.
Okay, I can picture
that. I mean, where you can see 600, 700 yards out through there, okay?
Like so, a 40 basal area or less.
Yes,
that it's quail woods.
It's real open, but it's just been thinned, okay,
right,
like last year.
Okay.
So I get over there behind the patch, and I'm sitting there, and I'm yipping and everything. Well, he's not answering me, but he's gobbling, mm-hmm, okay? But he's not answering me, so I'm thinking, well, dead gum, you know, something ain't right. So I couldn't tell whether it was one or two turkeys because he'd gobble a little bit to my left as I'm looking at, and then a few minutes later, he'd be a little bit more to the right, I'm thinking. So anyway, I sit there a little while and said, well, I'm going to get up from here. I can't get him to come. I thought I could get him to come across that opening, you know.
Right.
He'd come across, but no. Anyway, so I get up and go around, and I kind of thought I was in the place where he was, but ended up not being. By the time I got around there, it was late because I sat there probably 2 hours or more on that field. And by the time I got around there, I wasn't exactly sure where I was at, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, I didn't hear anything. But I went and sat up other places and, you know, spent the rest of my day just sitting. I never did hear another turkey gobble or anything. So the next morning, I said, well, I got on my map and I figured out exactly where
he was
at. And I talked to my buddy, and he told me, oh, yeah, I know exactly where he's at. He's right here, and there's a real pretty bottom there in behind this green field. And that's what he was, you know, he just wasn't leaving that area. So anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to be over there for daylight. I'm going to get where I'm supposed to be. So I did. I got right behind that green field. And sure enough, I mean, 150 yards out there, oh, he's gobbling his head off. I'm set up. I'm just perfect. Got two decoys out in the field, right at the corner of the field. Where he comes up there, he's going to see that decoy.
It's a dead turkey walking.
Dead, okay.
Yes.
So I sit there from, I guess, about 6:15, you know, well, daylight, but by the time he started gobbling, everything 6:15, he flew down. From there to almost, I'm going to say 2 o'clock. I'm not looking at my watch or anything.
Say what?
To 2 o'clock, okay?
And now this is a man I know who hunts like this, but that's even a lot.
And the whole time he's right in front of me. He's going up and down.
Does he have hens?
I can't see over this little ridge. There's a little bitty ridge there. If I would have went probably about 20 more foot, I could have seen down into that bottom. But I didn't know. I didn't know it was there. Okay, but the whole time I'm thinking I'm going to see his head. I'm going to see something. He's walking there. And a little
now, Mike can hear drumming at a distance that I can't. He can hear drumming a long way off. But
the whole day, there's only a few minutes or maybe 10 minutes.
He didn't
go
anywhere else?
He'd go to the left down maybe 150 yards the whole time. The other thing is.
Do you have hens?
Well, I didn't realize, but he did. But here's the other story. When he was in the tree, he was gobbling his head off. So I did a little tree yip, a little light yip, and a little cluck. He shut up. He didn't say another word for probably 10 more minutes or 15 minutes. And then he flew down, and he started gobbling, and I could hear him drumming and all that. And I said, I'm going to try him again. And I did a little yip. I mean, a real light yip. You know, just a real light little yip. Shut up. I could hear him drumming. No more gobbling. So I think I tried him one more time when he got down to my left. I said, well, let me try him. Maybe he'll come up into the field a little bit because he's closer to the field. And I think I tried him. Every time I yipped at him, he shut up.
Went cold.
But I'm telling you, I heard him the whole time. He was just drumming and gobbling.
He's strutting the whole time.
So
is he gobbling anything else, crows or anything?
Gobbled at crows. He wouldn't gobble at me. He gobbled at crows. So here's the last part of that day. So it's about 2 o'clock or so, and he's gotten a little bit further away from me. He's probably about 200, 250 yards. I can't hear him drumming now, but I can hear him gobbling. So he shuts up for a few minutes, and I said, well, only thing else I haven't tried is my gobble tube. So I pull my gobble tube out, and he I said, okay,
this is what he wants, right.
Okay, so about 15 minutes later, I don't hear him, and I get my
You still hear him drumming?
No, I don't hear him drumming. Uh-huh. So I know he's not right there close to
or
me.
He's
so
coming.
So and about 400 yards, he goes,
oh, gosh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
so
no.
I said, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I said, so he ain't coming to a call. So I go down, I get up, and it's like 2 or 3 o'clock.
My
it's
gosh,
late,
your
okay?
patience is amazing.
So I get up and go down into this bottom a little bit, and well, I can see this bottom now. I can see, oh, it's beautiful bottom. It opens up, big hardwoods. I mean, it's just beautiful, and I can see why he's there. He can see everything from there. So I set up for about another 2 hours and sit there, and you know, of course, I'm not yapping. I'm not doing anything. I'm just thinking maybe he's going to come back in here. But it's so hot. I am soaking wet. And it's hills up there, okay? And I'm talking about there's hills up there. It's almost mountains. So when we come back from the break, I'm going to finish up my story. It's a good story, okay?
But right now, it was 6:15 a.m. when he first...
Yeah. And now it's probably close to 4 o'clock.
My land.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, who is just fresh from the woods. He sat on this turkey for
a long time, basically 6 o'clock to close to 4 o'clock.
This is unreal. I mean, y'all, Mike is the most patient turkey hunter I know. He kills a lot of turkeys. This is unreal.
Yeah, but one of the reasons I sat there that long, because he was there.
Yeah, you could hear him drumming. You knew he was there. Yeah.
Then he gobbled. He made a whole morning. You know, the whole day, really, he'd gobble. He wouldn't gobble every, you know, minute or two, but, you know, every 20, 30 minutes or so, he'd gobble. But the rest of the time, he didn't have to gobble because I could hear him down there going,
wow. Wow.
So, anyway, so here's my plan. The next day, I said, well, I'm going to get back down in there. I'm going to get down in that bottom, but I'm going to be on the other side of, because he spent a lot of time on the other side of the green field behind it. You know, I'm down at the north end of the back of the green field,
okay.
But I'm gonna go back down and see better. I knew I could because I'd been there. You know, before I left, I went over to that side just to see what it looked like, so I could make a plan for the next day. So anyway, I went to the other side of the green field, which is only about 45 yards or something, and went down in there and got right down in that bottom where I could see and right at the edge of the pine, so I could. I went down there and I said, I'm not going to say a word, okay?
Okay?
So I know where he's roosting. I'm just going to sit there. When he gobbles, I'm ain't saying a word to him. So I get down there, daylight comes, and he gobbles. But where does he gobble? He gobbles behind me. You know, he's not in that tree and in that same little bottom. He's behind me in the same bottom but further down. 200 yards, maybe 150, 200 yards. So I get up, get turned around, okay? So here I am. I'm laughing
because I've lived this.
I'm ready for him to come down through that bottom, okay? Because I know that's what he's going to do. That's what he did the day before. No.
No?
He goes up in the piney woods, up in the hills.
A little change of scenery.
Yeah, I did. But the whole time, again, I hear him gobbling, and I hear him the whole time. He probably 150 yards out there, but I can hear him. So I never said a word. I just sat there patiently, and about maybe a quarter to nine, somewhere around there, I see two hens kind of chasing each other around up there. And I said, well, I could hear him pretty close. And I said, he's right there with them somewhere. But I can't see him. I can see the hens. So a few minutes later, here comes a hen down right to the left of me. And I'm saying, oh, God, about 10 steps or so from me. I said, she's going to see me. Start putting, and it's over with. So she comes on by me, and she flies. I mean, she flies up in a tree. She didn't putt. I don't think she saw me. She just flew up in a tree. Crazy things that happens in the woods.
Close to you? Or,
no, she's already walked by me.
Okay.
She already got by me.
So she pitched
probably,
up. It's daytime,
she's
but
probably
she
20
up.
Yards behind
wonder
me
if she
or
saw
something.
A coyote or something.
I don't know. She just flew up in a tree. So I'm thinking, oh, well, the turkey's going to shut up. It's over with. And I know he never stopped. He's going, I said, okay. He's not upset about it. Everything's good. So a few minutes later, I see this hen coming. And the hen's coming another 10 steps from me on my right side.
No, not again.
So I'm saying, this one's going to see me, going to putt, and it's over with. You know, I hadn't even seen the gobbler yet, and it's getting ready to be over with. Well, she came on and came. She looked at me a couple times, but she came on and went on by me and got about probably 15, 20 yards behind me. And about that time, I looked up, and I could see that gobbler coming.
Was he strutting his way into you?
He got behind the pine tree, and he stepped out, and I said, I can kill you right there, but there's a little limb there. I'm going to wait on you. So he came on.
Because you've waited on him for 18 hours.
Yeah, I waited
hours.
On him long enough. I could wait a few more minutes, but he came on and got out from behind another pine tree and had a little more clear open, and I whacked him. So I never said a word to that turkey.
That's amazing.
Never said a word to him. And the day before, I only gobbled to him maybe three times, four times, maybe at the most.
Right.
I mean, yep, Daddy. That's all I did.
Just the odds that those hens came that way.
Just the odds that happened.
It's not like they were coming to a call.
But they liked that bottom. I knew they did from the day before. I figured they're going to come back in this bottom, and they're going to come up and down between the pines and the hardwoods, up and down like they did before, possibly. So I looked out. And I was at the right place at the right time.
Yeah,
you know?
But you got the patience. We can all take a lesson from that. Yeah. You knew that's where they wanted to be,
yeah,
and that's where you were.
I guess you call that ambushing. I don't know if you call it. I guess that's
bushwhack.
Bushwhack, ambush, whatever you want to call it, I guess.
I call it a dead turkey.
Yeah, it was a dead turkey. And he was a good one.
That okay? He was a good one. A paintbrush beard.
I didn't weigh him, but he was a you know, a 10-inch beard, but he was a good heavy beard.
Paintbrush, y'all.
Yeah, and inch and a half spurs on one side and an inch spur on the other side.
I mean, you talk about that one side, a hook.
Yeah, I mean, a really good one. I mean, it was a hook. It was. I mean, you can hang him on a
tree. When you sent me that picture,
he was a limb hanger.
You sent me the picture, I went, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and an inch and a half is the biggest one I've ever killed in my life.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've killed maybe six or seven or so out of all the turkeys I've killed, you know, that would have an inch and a half spur.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky on that because a lot of people have never killed one with an inch and a half spur, okay? But that's about as big as they get in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I've heard people kill them a little bigger, but I'd like to put a tape measure on myself, okay?
I learned that was told to me in Florida, and I need to dig in and research this, because I have killed turkeys that have a good spur on one side and nothing, or a spur that's a lot less on one side.
Right.
They knock them off.
Knock them off.
This is what the guys down there told me. They knock them off, so what you can see is they knock them off and they start to grow another one. That's why one spur is not as developed as the other one.
How about that? Never heard
this,
that before.
Now, this is what I was told by Florida man.
Yeah.
But maybe that's, you know.
Well, he makes his living at it.
That's right.
Every day, he's probably seen more turkeys killed than anybody else,
yes.
You know.
And he says, they knock one off and it starts regrowing, but it's behind the other one. And that's why you get that situation. I've killed many turkeys. I say many, but I probably killed four or five in my life that have a spur on one leg and not on the other.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah.
And he's like, but they knock them off somehow and they start regrowing. So there you go.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, had a great hunt. It's a different hunt for me, but it was so hot last week. It was just miserable. It was like 85 degrees. The only thing that saved us was the wind was blowing 30 miles an hour. The whole time it was blowing.
The only thing that saved you is the other thing that makes turkey hunting bad. The wind was blowing.
Yeah, I mean, normally that's bad, but I was so glad because I'm telling you, I was about to die in those woods, and that wind helped. But climbing up those hills, oh my God, going back to my buggy like to kill me.
I got lucky. I showed back up in town, went through the rain on Sunday, didn't hunt on Monday. Tuesday it was 43 degrees and beautiful. And I killed one then too, but we'll talk about that when we get back.
Next week
on the show. All right, y'all have a great one.